Two friends, Marty and Peter, are having a conversation in letters, and they're talking about the writer Cormac McCarthy. It seems Peter has the role of the character titled simply Black in McCarthy's play The Sunset Limited, and he and Marty are talking about the play's themes and the two lone characters, one named Black, one named White. Peter writes, "In Robert Drew's 1969 documentary for NBC called On the Road with Duke Ellington, the Duke, smoking in his hotel room, says, 'If a man were given the power and privilege of seeing God, he still wouldn't have the power to show God to somebody else. Beyond that, it's that much more impossible to show God to an unbeliever. If you don't believe, you can't see him.'" Words of Duke Ellington. Peter continues his thoughts on paper. "I wonder how Black would have reacted if White had said the same thing to him, or if the Duke had run into him in Harlem and they had got to talking. The humility involved in that first simple statement, 'If a man were given the power and the privilege of seeing God, he still wouldn't have the power to show God to someone else,' seems quite religiously wise to me, and yet so far from Black's conversional enterprise with regard to White in McCarthy's play." That from Cormac McCarthy's House by Peter Joseph, and a good example of the kind of conversation this dialogue of a play, The Sunset Limited, can inspire. Gaslight Theatre Company will present The Sunset Limited the next two weekends at its theatre in the East End Centre in Wilkes-Barre. The Sunset Limited is a story about two men with polar opposite views, debating God, love, salvation, forgiveness, the human condition, and the state of the world. And as we heard, it's written by Cormac McCarthy, known for such powerful works as No Country for Old Men and The Road. The Sunset Limited focuses on a single important day in the lives of these two people, known only as Black and White, strangers forced into one another's lives when Black thwarts White's efforts to commit suicide by hurling himself in front of an oncoming subway train. Their ensuing conversation about purpose and worth becomes a literal matter of life and death, with Black doing all he can to give White the strength to carry on. The director is Dane Bower, and in the cast, Adam Moore as Black and Sam Falbo as White. Dane Bower and Sam Falbo stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk with us about the show and about Gaslight's mission. Dane Bower.
Mission-wise, Gaslight likes to try to do works that you don't get to see everywhere else. Lesser-known works, lesser-published works, challenging works, things that you're not going to see performed at 10 other theaters over the next decade. You know, kind of unique things.
We have a playwright before us who is a challenging fellow.
Indeed, yeah. Cormac McCarthy, who is an American author, playwright. He's written some novels that have been turned into films.
No Country for Old Men, one of my favorite.
Yep, No Country for Old Men, The Road, Blood Meridian. So he's got a couple well-known works out there. He's a very accomplished writer, playwright. And this, I think, is probably one of his lesser known plays,
sure, and but it's also consistent with most of his catalog. It's a laugh a minute.
Yeah.
What attracted you then, Dave?
I think the challenge of, for me, the challenge of directing it, because it's a piece that the entire thing survives on the language of it and the interaction between these two characters. It's certainly not action heavy.
It's so counterintuitive to every other instinct you have, certainly anything I've ever done, where it's just sitting and talking for a lot of it. So Dane and I, and even Adam, who plays Black in the show, we all said, like, muscle memory, you know, a line on a cross or a move to a specific piece of furniture, and it's not available, really.
Yeah, I mean, I knew this was going to be a huge challenge for the actors. The challenges that are in it, number one, that the subject matter is, it's heavy, it's dark, it's something that I don't think is done a lot. You know, just the mere subject of suicide and religion and just these philosophical debates and theological debates that they get into throughout the show is not something that you see a ton of. In this area, it tends to be a lot of more fun. Wilkes-Barre in particular is very heavy on musicals. And the show itself, the challenges would be, as Sam said, connecting muscle memory to movements on stage is a huge thing that helps me as an actor
and me,
Sam and Adam. And there really isn't a great opportunity for that in this. They just have to remember 60 pages worth of dialogue.
So. 60 pages of dialogue.
What does this remind us of? Does it remind us of Waiting for Godot?
I would say not so much in the absurdist part of it. I was actually telling a friend of mine the other night about the show. It's funny you bring that up. Tom Flannery has a piece, is it Beckett and Ernie, I believe it is, about people watching. It's kind of like that, in a sense, where it's not very abstract. I wouldn't say it was is absurdist.
No,
it's very specific straightforward. In both characters' language, but it's much more grounded in reality.
Yes.
And why black and white?
I think it's just a reflection of their beliefs and the contrast between the two of them. Part of what drew me to this show is, in this current day and age, in this climate, this is a show about two people with completely contrasting viewpoints, which we've seen a lot of lately, but they treat each other with a respect. There's an open dialogue. You know, there's not attacks. It's two people who are from complete opposite ends of the spectrum who are just having an open dialogue about it. And, you know, there are moments where it gets a little heated or that gets dismissive, things like that. But by and large, it's two people having a respectful, open conversation, which we don't get a lot of in this day and age.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think that is something that I certainly found after coming to the piece and rehearsing it, is like polar opposites, being able to sit across the table from each other and not scream and not troll each other or anything. Just have a conversation, an honest conversation that can be awkward at times, but not disrespectful and not dismissive. Right. I think that is great.
What is the theatrical nature of the piece then?
It reminds me a lot of Glengarry Glen Ross, where the language is so intriguing and what the characters are saying is so intriguing that's what pulls the audience in. Because if you think of Glengarry Glen Ross, there's not really a lot of action in that either. The biggest thing is the robbery, which happens off stage. Yeah. You don't even see it. So this is just characters interacting and intense conversations, intense moments, and that's, I think, exactly what you get in this piece.
What about dating it, placing it?
There's nothing that does that.
It's not very identifiable to a specific period in time where you could say it was past this or before that.
Right. We're playing it as just modern day.
Very much.
Yeah, there's no reason to date it or to give it a specific thing. It's just two guys in a low-rent apartment in New York City having a conversation.
And they're thrown together without knowing each other, or they have known each other?
No, without knowing each other.
Essentially, the setup is the lights come up on these two gentlemen already sitting in a room, and the only backstory you get about either of them is that White was about to commit suicide by jumping in front of a subway train, and Black snatched him out of the way and brought him back to his apartment, and that's where it picks up. So they establish that, and that's really all you get about either of these characters, is that White's
comedy gold.
Then, Sam, how did you approach bringing White to life?
Very carefully. I don't even know if I've said this to Dane, but there's a part in the show that I love and hate all at the same time. And it's towards the end, Adam Black turns to White and says, basically, if this is the point where you've come to in your life, then you need to start over. And by starting over, you burn it to the ground and you build again. And the amount of times where I've been in that moment and I'm like, I don't need you telling me this today. This is the wrong day for me to be hearing these things. This material, I did not know how deep it was. And I've had a couple of unsettling moments with it.
And Sam made the mistake of just trusting me implicitly as a friend when I said, hey, I'd like you to come out and audition for this role.
Like a very smart director. It was 2 years ago we did Judas Sheep?
Yeah.
Dane played my baby brother in Jeff Bohm's show Judas Sheep. And he said to me one night, he's like, I'm going to put in the direct. Would you audition for me? Yeah, I'll audition for you. Hey, I put in the direct. I got a spot. Will you come audition? Hey, auditions are this week. Sure, I'll come audition. I was all excited. I memorized the monologue and everything. And he cast me in the show. And I'm like, yeah, all right, it's Cormac McCarthy. Suicide, huh? Okay. Well, this is going to be fun.
It requires a lot of both actors, you know, to go to places that we all probably explore in our minds throughout our lives,
and
but we don't openly.
Very, very good point. Is like, I feel White is the embodiment of all those sort of insecure voices that come crawling out at midnight that you don't want to deal with. And to your point, Dane, about the dialogue, the beginning of the show, even more so, is so heavy on Adam and the character of Black, because he's trying to understand why White did what he did, where White came from, who is this person that I just happened to stop from committing suicide. So he has got a tremendous line load to try and draw out White and get the conversation moving.
When we talk about the importance of language, then White and Black must each speak differently.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Neither of them speaks in a way that seems natural in human like.
Yes.
Sam and I having a conversation doesn't sound anything like these two characters.
No.
They're just Cormac McCarthy has a very poetic way of saying things. He's got a very floral way of writing, and part of the challenge, and I said this to them during auditions, really, I said part of it is going to be taking this language that isn't the natural way that people speak and making it feel natural to the audience, making it seem like these kind of beautiful, twisted, reversed ways of saying things are natural to both of these characters.
And I think you alluded to it as well, Erica, word choices and things like that. It's really how you flesh out the meat of something when there isn't a lot of movement and it's just people expressing their ideas at a table.
Do you use things like music to set mood or to move things along?
Yeah, I'm working with Mike Little at Gaslight. He's the sound designer, and he's brilliant. And like I said, it just takes place in a single room apartment in New York City. So he's been working to create ambient noises so that out the window, you know, you hear traffic and sirens and sounds of the city. And then on the other side of the stage, he actually split the speakers so you get different sounds from different sides of the stage, which is awesome. The other side is more of what you would hear inside an apartment building, doors slamming, people arguing, things like that. And it's just a very subtle thing that happens in the background to create atmosphere. There's going to be some music, more so at the beginning and at the end. The thing about the show is it's a two-hour show, and it's lights up at the beginning and down at the end. So
not even an intermission for you to sneak out. Once we got you, buckle up.
You're in, yeah. But you're in for a good ride. I mean, these guys are brilliant. They're doing such a good job with really difficult material. Adam was a little bit of a wild card for me because he's done some theater with me. I've worked with him on stage a couple of times. We were in Les Mis together. We were in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels together. So I knew what character of a person he was in terms of doing a show. I knew how hard he would work and dedicate himself. And he's really a very passionate and dedicated actor, but I hadn't seen him do anything to this effect, you know, anything dramatic, anything with such a huge line load. I knew Sam can handle it because when we did the Judas Sheep, had to be a four-page monologue that he rattled off. I wasn't so worried. I knew that Sam had the chops. And Adam was a little bit more of a gamble, but I think it's been amazing. He's been great.
What about the theater? You all have been nomads for a long time at Gaslight, and then recently you settled in to a space. How does this play fit in that space?
The play fits in the space really well because it's a very intimate space and it's a very intimate show. So it's important that we do it in a space where the audience is close to these actors and can see the subtleties of their facial expressions and their mannerisms. So I don't think that a show like this would play as well in a large house. So the fact that it's a smaller, more intimate setting, I think, benefits this show.
And he won't mention anything about building the set, so I will. If anybody can make a set look like a lousy apartment in New York City, and I mean that as a compliment, Dane's our man.
It's interesting, Sam. People may know your work from stage, but you're also a film actor. What do you notice about something like doing this intimate work? It's different from the intimacy of film, right?
Well, I think, sort of building on what Dane said in his last answer, it is more filmic, more cinematic this time because it is so much about your expression, your reaction, what you're saying. And to be consistently that close to another person, like we're both basically in close-up the whole time, and then to have the audience be close to the action, to be able to experience that way, is something unique. So more so than previous, I find myself not being so worried about filling the space and projecting because everybody's closer and you can have that little bit more intimate moment.
And of course, the biggest difference between the theater world and the film world is you don't get to call cut and take another shot at it. You got to get it all done
unfortunately,
the first
no.
time.
Dane, you've set yourself up with some really creative actors now.
Sure.
And some really powerful language. As a director, what are then the challenges to make sure that we are with them and that the rhythms are right and so on?
I mean, the big thing for me is that it has really become a very collaborative effort where we'll run through a scene and I'll sort of give notes and discuss it. And then the three of us will all sit around and we'll spitball ideas about why did white say this? Why did black say this? What was this reaction? So, to take directing credit for it almost seems unfair, because with it only being a cast of two and me, it's really just three people dissecting this thing. And once we kind of align on an idea, it then becomes easier to execute it.
This, like Dane said, we have the ability to at least say, hey, could we stop for a minute and talk about this section here, because I don't understand this response or whatever.
And another good thing about it is I feel that Sam, Adam, and I are very similar in that it doesn't take a whole lot to derail us and get us joking around, especially when the show gets a little heavy and we're rehearsing. We kind of break it up and we crack jokes and we'll sort of stray for a minute and then everybody locks it right back in. So it's really cool to have two actors that I'm working with who are so similar to each other and to me and to the style of directing that I do, that we can all keep aligned like that. And it's made for, I think, productive, positive rehearsals and a good energy overall, because a show like this, it would be very easy to get dragged down into a dark space because that's the subject matter. But I think we've done a good job of keeping each other level and still making it fun.
I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. It's a human 2 hours. It's not a morbid 2 hours.
Correct, yeah.
There's dark humor, there's genuine humor, there's genuine humanity, but the overarching topic is, hey, this guy just saved this guy from jumping in front of a commuter train.
Right. I think Cormac McCarthy, one thing he does a great job of is he kind of builds this head of steam toward a direction that seems like it's going to be very dark, seems like it's going to be depressing, but then he'll lace it with enough humor to kind of keep things, there's a levity to the whole thing, even though the overall subject is dark and deep. He keeps enough levity throughout it to really make it an entertaining 2 hours. It's a really well written show, and I've been having a great time working on it.
Because he's not memorizing 60 pages of dialogue.
Also true.
In this world of short attention spans on the part of people who use devices a lot, mm-hmm. And so forth, you're asking us to make a commitment.
I look at it as it's a movie on stage. It's the same running time as a movie. And it's the same level of engagement. And I think it's more engaging because you're not staring at a screen. You're staring at humans who are putting on a great show for you. I think audiences are going to love it. I don't think anybody's going to be, itchy after time, because it sucks you in the first 2 minutes and it doesn't let go.
Even if we're an audience and we're beholding you guys have the conversation, it's something to do this in a collective, in a community mm-hmm. setting, don't you think?
I agree. I think if you're, like you said, there is a community in some of the views and opinions and emotions expressed in this, and it can help you understand your feeling about it. It can help you process how you're feeling about something, or you could just enjoy, like Dane said, 2 hours of live theater.
I would say that the way it handles the subject of suicide is kind of unique in that it doesn't necessarily preach about it in a way. I mean, it's just one person trying to save another, and it happens to be that this person is suicidal. It doesn't really tell you how to feel one way or another about suicide. Black feels very strongly one way, white feels very strongly the other, and you can kind of decide in between, your thoughts on it. And it approaches the subject of God and atheism, which, again, is a big hot-button subject. But it still manages to do that without telling you that you should feel one way or another about it. So I think that it's a nicely balanced show and something that I think people will talk about after they leave the theater. It's very thought-provoking.
And I think the conversations themselves are exhaustive to the extent they can be, where it's not just these sort of simple back and forths. They really work through some of this complicated stuff and try to come at it from all angles.
Well, tell us how we can attend.
The show opens Friday, March 16th. It's running the 16th through the 18th and the 23rd through the 25th at Gaslight Theater Company. Friday and Saturday shows are at 7:30. Sundays are at 2 p.m. We're located at 200 East End Center in Wilkes-Barre. It's the Joe Amato Center. We're by Gabe's and by Suds Be Gone, I think it's called.
And Just Past the Red Lobster.
And Just Past Red Lobster, correct. So we have tickets available online. You can go through Ticketfly. Visit our website, gaslight-theater, spelled theatre.org. There's a link on there and also on Facebook to our Ticketfly. And it's also worth mentioning that for every ticket that's pre-sold online through Ticketfly, Gaslight is donating $2 to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Dane Bauer, director, Sam Falbo, actor, speaking with us about The Sunset Limited by Cormac McCarthy, to be presented with actor Adam Moore by Gaslight Theatre Company this weekend and next, March 16th through the 18th and the 23rd through the 25th at the East End Center in Wilkes-Barre. For more information on the web, gaslight-theater.org, gaslight-theater.org. That's The Sunset Limited, March 16th through the 18th, 23rd through the 25th. The shows are 16 and 17, 23 and 24 at 7:30 p.m., and the Sunday matinees are at 2. Online, gaslight-theater.org, gaslight-theater.org.